Today in Genesis, chapter 11, verses 31 through chapter 12, verse 5, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, or it'll be up here on the board behind me. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and the son of Haran and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, and his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur to the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions, and all they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Now Terah intended to go to the land of Canaan, but he settled in Haran. And upon his death, God spoke to Abram, his son, Terah's son, and told him, go to the land I will show you. All of us here begin a journey of following Christ. The goal is always the promised land, but most of us settle in Haran. We get fatigued from the journey. We start out with all good faith and intent, but we grow old, we grow disillusioned with a long, harsh journey. We set up comforts for ourselves here. Not sure how far away the promised land is. We grow comfortable short of Canaan. And we grow satisfied with Haran. And then we die, never seeing the land that God has promised. Somewhere along the way, we lose our heart for the journey. Somewhere we took our eyes off the prize that God has promised us. We don't necessarily lose faith, but we settle for less. We get as far as Haran, but we don't journey on to Canaan. And this is a temptation of every follower of Christ. For Abram, it was geographical and spiritual. For some of us here today, it's geographical. Maybe God has called you to move on in your ministry. He's called you to move to another town. He's called you to something new, a new purpose for your life. But we've grown settled in where we're at. We don't want to change. We don't want to move forward. We'd rather just stay where we're at. But I want to focus on the spiritual journey that we all face this morning. Every one of us here. It starts out like this. You ask Jesus into your heart, not because you're smart or you really want to, you really need to, because God has to reach out to you first. You can't respond until God reveals himself to you, and that's called grace. But at some point in our lives, God has spoken to us. For every Christian here today, at some point, you've listened to the Word of God. And all of a sudden, you realize your condition. There's something missing. You see something that other people have, and you don't know what it is, but you want to know how to get it. All of a sudden, nothing's the same anymore. Whatever it is, you want it. So you pray. You listen. You receive Jesus into your heart. At that moment, you're born again from above. And from that very moment in time, you start a spiritual journey that God has laid out for you, just for you, because we're all individuals, we're all different. He has a special purpose. Now, Christians, don't tune me out yet. Don't start thinking about lunch, because this applies to you as well as the ones that haven't come to believe. I'm not just talking about the lost, I'm talking about the saved, the young and the old, the short and the tall. Because once you begin your journey of following Christ, that's when it gets interesting. Once you identify yourself as a Christian, your journey began. then you have to pick up and go to a land that God will show you. You have to step out in faith. My journey's been different than your journey. Mark's journey's been different. But we're all going the same place. And that's the place that God calls us to. God calls us to Canaan. I'm not talking about heaven. When you receive Jesus by faith, your name's written in the book of life, not to be removed. Once saved, you're always saved. I'm talking about that journey to the promised land that God has for each of us. You can settle in Haran and still go to heaven. But God calls us to so much more. Every step that you take through the desert of life on your way to Canaan gives you evidence of your salvation, of your growth in the Lord. Here's the problem. Most Christians stopped looking for Canaan years ago. They settled right where they're at. They're satisfied with Canaan. Perhaps the best way to illustrate this is with romance. You know, God created romance. You know, men may have ruined it, but God created it. Think of a couple in love. We had a wedding here in the church just a week or so ago. And it's so great to see a young couple standing up there looking in each other's eyes. When we're young and we're in love, or even old and in love, think about how you feel. You can't get enough of each other. You can't learn enough about each other as you talk. And the only thing you know is when you're away from your bride or your groom-to-be, you just can't wait to get back together. Can't wait for that moment. And think about a soldier that's away from home. All they can think about is getting a letter in the mail, or in this modern times, an email or a text message. And they're counting the time when they can get back home to their family and that love they miss. And that's how God wants us to yearn for Him. To ache when we're away from Him. To desire that closeness. That chance to learn more about Him. To draw closer and closer. But most of us stop short. Well, just like the church in Revelation, Ephesus. In chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, Revelation. It says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Like the churches today, they've done a lot of good works. And like most of the churches today, they've let their love grow cold. These are the words of Jesus Christ. These are the words to follow. Jesus never neglected to show us His love. Even His gratitude for the work that we do and the blessings that are poured out on our lives. And that's love. That's the example of love that we should be following. You can do good for God's church. You can do good in God's church for a little while. But unless you have a love of Christ, you'll fall short. Your love too will grow cold. I want you to think of some of the names that God gives His church. He calls it the Bride of Christ. And what comes to your mind when you envision a bride? Lovely woman, a lovely dress, in a bridal gown, a groom looking longingly in her eyes, waiting for the pastor to pronounce those words, you are now mother and wife, husband and wife. Excuse me. You look at that image, and even in a fallen world, mostly the image is of a new start, a clean slate, a chance for a new life together as they leave their old life. And that's how the Holy Spirit inspired John in Revelation 19, 5-9. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" The marriage between a man and a woman who love each other is a wonderful thing, but it pales in comparison to the marriage of Christ to his bride. Following Christ sometimes requires walking through the desert, but not all the time. We need to focus on the destination that God has set for us, not on the train we walk through. At times you're going to walk through the dry places, but God will give you those fountains, the streams in the desert. At times you walk over beautiful hills, but you need to remember your destination. It's not for you to say, "I'll follow Jesus, but not through the desert. I'll join Jesus at the party and I'll dance on the hilltop with him, but I won't pass through the valley. I'll wait on the other side." Sometimes we say we're comfortable. This journey is too hard. And maybe that Canaan, that land that God has promised us, isn't that good that I need to continue on. Luke 14:26-33 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And wherever he does not hear, bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begins to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all it is cannot be my disciple." Simply saying, "Yes, I've counted the cost. Yes, I'll go to church," is not enough. Following Christ is not about going to church, though it's a part of it. No more than driving your car is about changing the oil, but that's essential. Following Jesus should be an all-consuming lifestyle that blurs over into your school life, your work life, your home life. It's a total commitment. It requires all of our thought and all that we do. You know, I've said before, the people that we are inside these walls should be the same people we are out on the street. We come here and we praise God, we sing glory to him. We should be doing that at work. We should be doing that at school. And we should be doing that in our families' houses. Everyone in here today has got something in common. Everyone here that claims Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior has been called to a purpose. And God has set a path for you. He has promised you a Canaan. And he doesn't want you to stop short. My question for you today is, have you settled for Canaan? There's a word, an English word, that started out as a golf term. It's about when you're on the green and you're going to make your putt and your opponent's ball is between you and the hole. Now, I'm not a golfer, but I know you're not allowed to go over and kick it out of the road. They wouldn't stand for that. But What it's called is, you're stymied. I think there's a lot of Christians that get stymied in life. Stymie is described as a situation or a problem presenting such difficulties as to discourage or defeat any attempt to deal with it or resolve it. See, many followers of Christ have been stymied at some point in their life because they let something get in the way of the will of God. They start out, well, yeah, we'll start out our journey. They start out strong. They start out for Canaan. But somewhere an obstruction occurred. They lost their will to move forward. They got tired. They got comfortable. How many of you here today have a position in the church where you're so comfortable you don't want to leave it? You don't want to try anything new, even though you know that God's speaking to your heart to reach out. But I like it here. I don't want to move forward. When was the last time you stayed up late with God having a conversation just because you love Him? When was the last time you gave an offering to God with gladness in your heart and joy and not just paying membership dues? You give your tithe, you give an offering because you rejoice in who God is and what He has done in your life. How long has it been since you've walked by faith doing something so outside of your box that it brought joy to your heart because God called you to do it? We've become so settled in our day-to-day life, the day-to-day grind of everything we do, we're afraid to reach out, even when God calls us. How long has it been since God's called you to do anything? I'll bet if you listen, it'll be something great. It'll be something outside your box. And it probably won't be prudent to those around you. You ever have someone say, well, why did you do that? Well, I did it because it brought joy to my heart. Because it felt good to do it. Somebody came in here this weekend and shampooed the carpets. Nobody asked them to. They did a great job. And I'm sure it brought joy to their hearts. They were serving the Lord. I'm on the subject of prudence. The Bible has a lot of positive things to say about prudence, about caution. But if we're not careful, prudence is what causes us to hide from what God wants us to do. We can say we're being prudent, we're thinking about it, but don't hide behind it. If God calls you out, go do it. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, God called you to go to a land that He would show you. And it's not a sprint. It's an endurance race. But we're supposed to keep proceeding forward, keep moving forward in the Word of the Lord and accomplishing what He has set before us. I know we get weighed down. And what weighs you down today? What troubles have you brought in here? There's no trouble that's bigger than what God can't handle. What has stymied your determination to serve God? We all start out with a good heart, but we get weighed down. What do you need to get rid of in order to walk by faith again? Have you settled in your heart that you're just going to stay where you're at? Have you given up? Maybe you've become complacent. I like it where I'm at. Has your love grown cold? Or still is there a spark to serve God? Maybe you think you know all you need to know. Your walk with God is complete, but it's not. Your walk with God will never be complete until the day He comes to take us home. My prayer is that you won't settle for less than what God has for you. Let's all stand. We'll close in a word of prayer in a minute. But there's too many Christians, too many Christ followers that never know God because they settle too far from where He calls them to be. I've had people ask me, how do you know when God's talking to you? How do you know when He's calling to you? It's because you take the time to sit and to listen, to pray, and to wait for Him to answer your prayers. So often we come in here, even on Sunday mornings, and we worship together, and it means something. It lifts us up. But then we're in such a hurry to run back out those doors to get lunch or to go visit, to go fishing, whatever we have planned for our Sunday afternoon, that we forget that this is the Lord's day. This is a day set aside to worship together, to lift each other up. We talked about that last week, how a kind word can make someone's day, that you can make a difference in a day, in a week, in a life. So what do you want to do today? Do you want to stay where you're at? Do you want to make a change in your life? Do you want to pack up and head for Canaan? Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, You have given us so much. You've given us the gift of eternal life, but You call on us to serve You, to reach out to others. Father, I just pray in the life of this church that we'll be worthy of Your blessings, Father, that You would continue to give us wisdom and guidance, Father, and a focus on the path that You set for us, a focus on where our Canaan is. Father, I just ask that we be effective in reaching out to this community, Father, that we can draw those in who don't know You. And Father, I pray for everyone here and those who couldn't be, Father, that You would speak to our hearts, that we'd hear Your voice, and we would know the direction that You've laid for each individual. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.